So, most of my research is really, as Perry said, interested in understanding how these features of close relationships actually influence health and health behaviors. So the paper I'm going to present today is really a kind of an extension of the work I do. So HIV is high among young MSM. Many of us in this room already know this. Among emerging adult MSM, HIV is very high. And so this is kind of the reason that we embark on this work. And today I'm going to specifically look at practices directly associated with HIV, and that's condomless sex. So romantic relationship ideals are really important for as an area of research. Our emotions, the way we feel about people and things, really guide our behaviors and our cognitions. And so this is a very important area of research that is not well understood. However, there have been a few studies that have actually looked at the way in which relationship ideals influence sexual risk acts. And so my colleagues Newcomb and then a few others have actually found that among young and emerging adult gay and bisexual men, romantic relationship ideals are associated with sexual risk behaviors. And so I'm going to extend this body of research today by looking more specifically at how these relationship ideals actually influence changes in sexual risk behavior over time among emerging adults. So my research questions were as follows. First, I wanted to look at basic change and growth in insertive, receptive, and total condomless sex among emerging adult gay and bisexual men. Secondly, I looked at how fearful romantic ideals, so being afraid that you'll never find a romantic partner or be in a romantic relationship, influences change and growth of sexual risk practices over time in this population. And the third aim focuses on relationship ideals around control. So having more control over how a romantic relationship is going or the dissolution of a romantic relationship, and how that is associated with the change or growth in sexual risk practices over time. In terms of the measure, sexual risk was measured asking participants in the timeline follow back about their sexual condomless sex episodes in the last 30 days. So we looked at insertive, receptive, and total. I Windsorized or cut off the extreme values, so the range was from 0 to 30 sexual risk practices. In terms of romantic relationship ideals, there's a measure that was created by Diamond and Lucas in a 2004 paper, and we used, oh, and then it just kind of goes. And so, again, relationship ideals was measured with relationship fear, so I'm afraid I'll never be in a relationship, which was a one-item measure or scale, and then relationship control, which was actually two items. And then we measured interrelationship, and about 66% of the sample at baseline reported that, yes, they were in some kind of a relationship, while 34% reported they were not. So in terms of the plan of analysis, sexual risk is not a normally distributed variable because there's an over estimation of zeros. Thus, I use the two-part parallel process growth model to model the growth in sexual risk practices over time, and then used the romantic relationship ideals to kind of see if they affect this growth in sexual risk practices over time. In terms of my outcome variable, they were the three sexual risk behaviors, or insertive and receptive sex, and then the combination of both of those. And then the predictors in the unconditional model, I just used time, so I just wanted to see if there was any growth at all. And in the conditional model, I used time and then the romantic relationship variables, as well as relationship status. So just overall, all of the sexual, both receptive and insertive, and thus total, grew over the 36-month period. So from the ages of about 18 to about 21, these emerging adults were having more insertive and receptive condomless sex. So I'm going to present the results in table form so we can all kind of stay on the same page. So the unconditional model was the model with just time. So in terms of insertive sex, there was a significant increase in insertive condomless sex over the 36-month period. So from the ages of 18 to 21, young men were participating in more insertive condomless sex. So when we look at the conditional models and include the romantic relationship ideals, we see that relationship fear, so the more relationship fear you had, the less insertive condomless sex you had. In addition, relationship control, the more romantic relationship control ideals you had, the more insertive condomless sex you had, and then being in a relationship was associated with more insertive condomless sex. So the receptive results are a little different. So we still see that there's significant growth over time in receptive condomless sex. And then we see the same result in terms of fear. So the more fear about ever being in a relationship was associated with less receptive condomless sex. However, we did not see any statistically significant results for relationship control. I'll talk about why I think that in a little bit. And then, of course, if you're in a relationship, you're more likely to have receptive condomless sex. And then these are the results for the total, which mirror the results that I just talked about. So the key findings is that similar to other research looking at condomless sex just among emerging adults more broadly, we do see this growth. So as they get older, they have more condomless sex. And there are a lot of reasons for this. It could be that individuals are just participating in more committed partnerships, and that's where the sex is happening. Or you just get older and you become more comfortable. So there are a lot of explanations why there might be more this growth in condomless sex over time. But what is interesting is that young MSM who reported more fear about ever finding a romantic partner were less likely to have insertive receptive and total condomless sex as compared to men who reported less fear. So initially, I had hypothesized that if you are fearful that you'll never be in a relationship, that you'll engage in more of these like clingy behaviors, or you'll overcompensate for that relationship fear and thus participate in more sexual risk behavior. But in fact, my hypothesis was disproved. And that's interesting because there's a lot of research literature that actually supports both points. So in more of the attachment and security literature, there's a lot of research that says that you'll overcompensate and thus participate in more sexual risk behavior. But there are also a lot of articles that say, well, if you're more fearful about these relationships, then obviously there's something going on where you're not going to reach out and kind of connect with men in a way to kind of have these sexual relationships. In terms of the last bullet point, young MSM who endorse perceptions of having more control over how a romantic relationship is going or the dissolution of a romantic relationship were more likely to have insertive condomless sex. And this aligns with a lot of the research in this area. Controlling partners just tend to have more power in the relationship and determine kind of how the relationship is going, which position they're going to play, so on and so forth. So this is supported by the academic literature. So limitations, the measurements. This study will need to be replicated with a more comprehensive measurement of relationship ideals. I specifically, in this presentation, looked at fear and control, but there are other types of relationship ideals that also might impact sexual risk. In addition, this was a New York City-based sample of young MSM, and thus the study should be replicated in other cities to increase the generalizability and the features of the population in which the analysis was run. In terms of the implications, I would like you to take away from this that we really need to take a step back when we're looking at HIV prevention and think about how our emotions and how the way we feel about peers and romantic partners really influence our behaviors. And I think if we look at this in the more structural and contextual framework, then we'll get a little bit closer to actually creating more effective interventions around HIV vulnerability. In addition, I put PrEP up here because I also think that if we think more critically about relationships and how people feel, this could also help us in making PrEP interventions more effective, or think about how we can effectively roll out interventions based on couples' communication or the way in which people communicate to their sexual partner. And then I think that this will, you know, also help reduce HIV vulnerability among young MSM. And then I put implications for HIV intervention, and then I put a question mark, because I think that we also can think critically about how this can inform intervention design, but I think that we need to do more of the groundwork and the back work before we actually go ahead and do like some randomized trial of romantic relationship ideals. But I want everyone to keep it at the back of their mind, so we know that this is where we're going and thinking about why relationship ideals are important to think about. And thank you. If you want to continue the conversation, there's my email address.
Thank you. So, thank you, Stephanie. So we have time for some clarifying questions related to this particular talk, if anyone has any. Yes, please.
Did you look at all about whether that association you made in terms of that if they have fears about having a relationship, that they would have less sex, whether that held if they were currently in a relationship or not?
I have been asked that so many times, and you know, it's a really important question, right? Because we know like people like in relationships just have more unprotected kind of sex. So when I did the interaction term, it kind of just blew up the model. So I'm still working on that. And I think part of it is because the model is so complicated to run in the first place that when you add an interaction term, you have to like set all these different parameters to one. So it's just complicated, but I think it's a good conceptual question, and it's something that I have to work on doing, because I think like, people are going to continue to ask me that, and I'm going to have like some kind of answer for it. Thank you. That was a really good question.
Please.
How did you operationalize the relationship? Because I thought you had several different
Yeah. That's exactly how we operationalized it, how it was on there. So if you were in a, because people operationalize how they feel they are in a relationship very differently. So the question I think asks about having a boyfriend, having a partner,
spouse,
and so all of those were collapsed into having a relationship versus not. And I'm going to just like, I know what your next question is. So yes, different configurations and partnerships might yield different, may look differently in terms of the growth of sexual risk over time. But in this study, the way we operationalized relationship status, we're just not able to get to that detail. But I think it's a really important, you know, future direction.
Thank you.